CD 2.
So, Moist thought as he put the pot back with extreme care. Inside the post office, normality clearly does not have a one-to-one relationship with the outside world. I might miss the cues. He decided that the role of keen but bewildered manager was the one to play here. Besides, apart from the keen aspect, it didn't need any effort. "Can you help me, Mr. Grote?" he said. "I don't know anything about the post." "Well, sir, what did you used to do?" "Rob, trick, forge, embezzle. But never, and this was important, using any kind of violence. Never." Moist had always been very careful about that. He tried not to sneak, either, if he could avoid it. Being caught at 1 a.m. in a bank's deposit vault while wearing a black suit with lots of little pockets in it could be considered suspicious, so why do it? With careful planning, the right suit, the right papers, and above all the right manner, you could walk into the place at midday and the manager would hold the door open for you when you left. Palming rings and exploiting the cupidity of the rural stupid was just a way of keeping his hand in. It was the face, that was what it was. He had an honest face, and he loved those people who looked him firmly in the eye to see his inner self, because he had a whole set of inner selves, one for every occasion. As for firm handshakes, practice had given him one to which you could moor boats. It was people skills, that was what it was, special people skills. Before you could sell glass as diamonds, you had to make people really want to see diamonds. That was the trick of all tricks. You changed the way people saw the world. You let them see it the way they wanted it to be. How the hell had Vetinari known his name? The man had cracked von Lipwig like an egg, and the watch here were demonic. As for setting a golem on a man... "I was a clerk," said Moist.
"What, paperwork, that sort of thing?" said Grote,
looking at him intently. "Yes, pretty much all paperwork. That was honest if you included playing cards, cheques, letters of accreditation, bank drafts and deeds."
"Oh, another one," said Grote. "Well, there's not a lot to do. We can shove up and make room for you in here, no problem."
"But I'm supposed to make it work again like it used to, Mr. Grote."
"Yeah, right," said the old man. "You just come along with me then, Mr. Lipwig. I reckon there's one or two things you ain't been told."
He led the way out, back into the dingy main hall, a little trail of yellow powder leaking from his boots.
"My dad used to bring me here when I were a lad," he said. "A lot of families were post office families in those days. They had them big glass drippy tinkling things up in the ceiling, right, for lights?"
"Chandeliers," Moist suggested.
"Yeah, probably," said Grote. "Two of them. And there was brass and copper everywhere, polished up like gold. There was balconies, sir, all round the big hall on every floor made of iron like lace. And all the counters was of rare wood, my dad said. And people, this place was packed. The doors never stopped swinging, even at night. Oh, at night, sir, out in the big backyard, you should have been there. The lights, the coaches coming and going, the horses steaming. Oh, sir, you should have seen it, sir. The men running the teams out, they had this thing, sir, this device. You could get a coach in and out of the yard in 1 minute, sir, 1 minute. The bustle, sir, the bustle and fuss. They said you could come here from Dolly Sisters or even down in the Shambles and post a letter to yourself and you'd have to run like the blazes, sir, the very blazes, sir, to beat the postman to your door. And a uniform, sir, royal blue with brass buttons. You should have seen them. And..."
Moist looked over the babbling man's shoulders to the nearest mountain of pigeon guano, where Mr. Pump had paused in his digging. The golem had been prodding at the fetid, horrible mess, and, as Moist watched him, he straightened up and headed towards them with something in his hand.
"And when the big coaches came in, sir, all the way from the mountains, you could hear the horns miles away. You should have heard them, sir. And if any bandits tried anything, there was men we had who'd go out and..."
"Yes, Mr. Pump," said Moist, halting Grote in mid-history.
"A surprising discovery, postmaster. The mounds are not, as I surmised, made of pigeon dung. No pigeons could achieve that amount in thousands of years, sir."
"Well, what are they made of, then?"
"Letters, sir," said the golem.
Moist looked down at Grote, who shifted uneasily.
"Oh, yes," said the old man.